It is Thursday, the 15th of November, and this is episode 142 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another event. Oh dear. Welcome to another episode. I am Chris and I'm joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
All right, governor.
All right, gavs. you've bought yourself a Nexus. I think we should celebrate. Welcome to the Android fold.
Welcome to Linux. Linux on the move.
What? And Apple's not Linux?
Well, when I go to an app store, I don't expect to see number one on the list an antivirus tool, number two a file manager. It's like, oh, yeah. how unclean.
How very, very dirty.
But then again, I did search for SNES emulator and rejoiced.
Boom! Exactly. There comes the little retro. Who needs all these retro games when you can just have a SNES emulator running?
Especially
away?
When I thought, oh, I wonder where I can get ROMs. Oh, there's a search tool in it. Oh, and it takes you to a hooky website. Oh, and you can just download it on the Android device. And then you can just search for the ROM. Oh,
get that bad boy through Apple QA.
Infinite games.
Yeah, so you're in a bit of heaven there, really. How have you found it? Has it been all right?
Well, it's a very nice tablet. Good battery life, fast. I'm actually quite impressed with Android. And it's a little, I guess it's a little subtle things like, download the Verge app and you're reading through the Verge app and I've got Pocket on and obviously all these other things that I've got, Nevernote and all that kind of good stuff. But then when you go to the little share option, you can see that Pocket's added itself, Nevernote's added itself, like it would do on the Mac, but that's not what happens in iOS. And that little bit of flexibility, you're like, ah, oh, that's nice.
I wonder whether you've hit a kind of sweet spot here, because I definitely was too much of an early adopter, even though I wasn't the early adopter.
Mm.
I think it's lived out to say, yes, I was too early. But maybe you've hit an absolute sweet spot here and you maybe, fingers crossed, you're going to have a good experience.
I got it on Monday. And out of the box was interesting because it's like there's hardly any power in it. So you kind of had to leave it sitting for a couple of hours.
It's little things like that have moved on a bit in the world nowadays, haven't they?
And you're like, why can't I? Why haven't you done what Apple does? And you get it out and it's like 90% charged and it's there, or Amazon's actually got it set up. You know, Amazon's got you out the box. Yeah. But 4.2 came out, so 4.2, which is the latest Android. And it's got like support for users. Not that I'm going to use it. And kind of bizarre things like, it's changed a couple of things already that I'm like, why did you do that? Why did you think that was good? Remember you said last week about the lock screen and having widgets on it? And it's like, soon I'm going to have almost like...
It's going to be an unlocked phone in a locked state.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason, a bit like the Microsoft front page, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe it would be good to sort of keep up with how... Because I know you haven't had it long, so it'd be good to keep up with how things have been going with it.
But Google Now is all sorts of awesome. Quite impressed with Google Now. Yeah. And obviously all the kind of Google search and stuff like that is working a treat. The maps, very impressive. And really fast, light tablet. And so much so, one of the guys I work with is a way to buy one tomorrow.
There you go. And the good value as well.
They're excellent value. And I can't really complain. And also with Google Music or whatever it's called. Is it Google Play Music? Google Music Play? I don't know. But on Tuesday, they allowed you to start uploading all your songs, up to 20,000 songs free on the cloud. So 8,500 of mine are up there. And everything's available. On
in the same week that you've lost all your tracks on iTunes Match. Welcome to my world.
I probably shouldn't warn up front, but I'm going to have to do it now because you've mentioned it. So this was the same. Well. So the app came out, you upload it from the Mac, everything was uploading. The next morning when I tried a tablet, all the tracks were there with all the album art, which is a very unlike iTunes Match, which has like about three albums of album art and nothing else. And it all played. And it didn't feel as slick, certainly, as iTunes Match. And the iTunes Match seems to preload the next kind of track along in the playlist and maybe two or three ahead. And certainly there was definite lag between loading them up on the tablet, on the Nexus.
But very much more universal, so you can listen to it most places now.
Absolutely. But iTunes Match, and this is very briefly, Fired up my iPhone yesterday. All the tracks that weren't on the iPhone grayed out, and I'm like, what the hell? And I thought, oh. And Shaq was laughing at me, saying, "That's because you've turned. That's because you've left us." And I switched it off and switched it on again, the actual iTunes match, and everything was gone apart from the downloaded tracks. And I was like, rah, rah, rah. And I thought, maybe it's just an iPhone thing. But then I checked the iPad and they were all grayed out as well. And I was like, bloody hell.
Yeah, welcome to my world. I think we talked about this a few weeks back where I said all my bloody songs have gone and I can't listen to them, and how frustrating it was because I don't think they physically exist on my computer anymore.
No.
That's a fusser.
So I got home, looked at iTunes. It said they were all up there. I can't remember the option I went and chose. I went to store and update iTunes Match, and it kind of thought for 20 minutes and it says, yeah, they're all there.
So, don't be surprised if they all grey out again.
Switched them off and on the phone and they were all there. Yep. Fantastic. Checked on the iPad.
You think you fixed it?
All there. Fantastic. Yep. Went to work this morning, all grayed out.
Yep.
And it was then I thought,
it's,
whoa, maybe it's not iTunes Match. So I went to, let's get to the right bit. This is terrible for a podcast, but never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah, I've done it now. So I went into my settings and I went into my cellular settings and they'd been switched off for iTunes. And I thought, that's a bit odd. And they were switched off on the iPad as well. I never touched them, but for some reason they had switched off.
I think there's some weird setting where it gets set in the wrong place and then it clashes. But the thing is, I can't get out of it for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, anyway. So that was the reason why they grayed out. So they were all there in iTunes Match. I've listened to the music all day on the iPhone. It's working, but I thought it was a bit strange that that kind of setting changed on me without me doing anything.
Yep. Anyway, that's badness in Apple. Let's go to Microsoft. That's where we're going to start our news today, because big news being that Stephen Sinofsky has left Microsoft. Now, a lot of you won't know who Stephen Sinofsky is, but he was head of Windows. So a massive person's leave. He's been there since 89, so he's been there for donkey's years. Reputation as being a pretty hardline boss, you know, pretty ruling with an iron fist or whatever. But he's gone and he's been replaced by Julie Larson Green, who was... what does she do? Let me help me out here.
She was looking at program management, user interface design, and also she did a lot of seemingly background and research on 7 and 8, or Windows 7 and 8.
But she was a program manager, so she's been now brought up to being heading up Windows, which is a pretty massive job jump, it seems. Anyway, there's obviously been lots of rumors about why he's left and why particularly now. Is it because Windows hasn't gone as well, Surface hasn't gone as well as they expected or wanted, or was it more tactical? Was he already due to go and he just got kept on until such time as Windows was actually out in the wild? And I guess no one knows yet.
No, I mean, this, just to put it in perspective, wasn't only that he was head of Windows, he'd been there a long time, he was lots of people's tip for, he would take over from Ballmer as CEO. So this was a guy that people were kind of betting the company on in some ways. You know, outsiders were saying he's the most natural, you know, guy to lead up this company. I was quite surprised. See the last kind of 3 months of keynotes, he's been the guy that's been holding up the Surface. He's been the guy showing Windows 8. He's appeared very nervous. He's not a great presenter.
Said he didn't present very well, didn't you?
Which, I'm not saying that makes a great leader, but, you know, it kind of, you need to inspire confidence. You know, there's something about, you know, if you compare Jobs to Obama, you know, and if you compare, you know, when Tim Cook first came along and did the first keynotes, you could see he wasn't the best presenter. And this guy, he's always appeared nervous and stuttery and excitable and, I don't know.
Yes. So maybe that all probably goes to deciding, you know, shareholders have, you know, hinting and have a good say on things like this.
Well, the rumors are that it was all power struggles, a bit like
I wouldn't be surprised.
A bit like who's the Apple guy that left?
Him.
Oh, this is rubbish. I told you it'd be rubbish tonight. Big rambling mess. Scott Forstall. So it's a bit like the rumors about him and trying to manipulate.
Want the leadership? Can't now be set in junior, but the sort of wingman anymore. Wants to be the Maverick to his Iceman.
Oh dear.
Anyway, so also, I mean, the official line is that, you know, he's just left, but people have been commentating that Microsoft wants to go down this whole, you know, really integrated approach. And Sinofsky was a very siloed person and not willing necessarily to go down that route. So they're the commentators' sort of reasoning for his going. Anyway, he's gone.
I still think Windows 8 is a big mistake from the whole, it's mobile and it's desktop in one. I just think it's the wrong approach.
Maybe that's something else to do with it. Maybe they now realise that it's not quite, they went down his route maybe. Such speculation. That's what we love, is it, right?
I know.
We should have speculation warning. But anyway, yes, he's gone. Also, there's been a story about sneaky advertising in Windows. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yes, and adverts were talked about. They've been talked about for desktop OSs for quite a while. So there was lots of rumors that Apple were looking at it. So maybe doing a free version of OS X with adverts. And lots of people were just like, no, I'd rather pay the money.
Dirty.
I'd rather pay the money. I don't want adverts on my desktop operating system. And certainly in the main Windows operating system, you don't see the adverts. The adverts that you see are all in the apps that Microsoft have developed that are sitting in the kind of modern UI, the Metro UI. It's still not a good name for it. I don't know why they dropped Metro. Probably just copyrights and
stuff.
It
was a copyright.
But it's come up with a name. Anyway, but there's adverts in there. And I just think that's really, you just don't expect it. You know, they've spent a lot of money. They've employed journalists. They've got a news app and they've got adverts in it. And it's like, no, that's just not on. I don't like that.
No, and it's funny that someone pointed out, that you have adverts in Xbox on your dashboard. And you're right, you do pay for Xbox Live. So exactly. why do you get... And it's never really... I guess it's never really bothered me because it's never got in my way. But then if I take it from a what is my standpoint on that type of angle, and it does annoy me that I've got adverts there. You know, it's taking up space and bandwidth that really, I don't... I mean, having said that, I think Xbox Live is a great value tool, and actually they probably do spend more money on it than they get through subscription. I don't know that for sure.
And we should point out, today is a 10-year anniversary of Xbox Live.
Soon my number will tick over to 10.
So this was like the first beta kits came out 10 years ago.
That's 10 years ago.
I can.
Where have I gone with my life?
Exactly.
Come back. Oh, dear. Yeah, because we were pretty much there from day one.
I got my little
Xbox Live beta kit.
The beta kit, which was MotoGP. I still remember my first...
Oh, yes.
And I know it's digression again, but I think this is going to be called the digression episode. My first Friday afternoon, plugged it in, fired it up. Couldn't believe that the actual developers of MotoGP were in the same room as me, and they were talking, and I was like very scared to talk, and I was like, "Hi," and all that kind of stuff. And then the next thing I heard, this little guy's Ouija voice going, "He's a fanny." And I was like, oh no. So it was like I had 2 minutes of like, this could be the worst online experience ever.
Yep.
Oh,
and then
class.
10 years just saying, yeah, pretty much.
Best feature, private chat. As soon as that came out.
It's amazing. We're so antisocial. It's unbelievable. I think actually private chat probably ruined a bit of Xbox Live for that reason.
Maybe.
But it also took away some annoying
It did fragment, probably made it a bit more PS3-like, which is very fragmented still with audio, and I think it probably did the same in Xbox.
Because people are much happier just to go.
Anyway, back on out of this hole that we're in. Adverts is... Paul Thrott, he was the guy that was pointing out about ads in Xbox Live, but he's also saying, you know, if we've got them now, what's next? Is Windows 9, you know, $20 and it's got adverts everywhere?
And when you turn on in the morning and it uses your webcam and says, "Morning, Chris, you look like you need... under eye treatment. Here's some surgeons."
Do not want. No, really do
no,
not
no,
want.
No, it's pretty ugly. And will it interrupt your day, you know?
And adverts, I guess adverts online are quite controversial. I mean, AdBlock is one of the most popular plugins for Chrome and Safari. But if you go and talk to journalists, they say adverts are required to support the internet that we know today. You know, you wouldn't have the services you've got if there wasn't advertisers paying. So you
I don't know what's right. I think everything will come out and settle down. But every time you get new adverts in new places, it's pretty ugly.
I just kind of feel that if I'm paying for a product, I've paid.
Oh yeah, especially if you've paid for a product, yeah, and not being told that pay, you know, the value that you've paid for it is not the full value, whatever.
I guess the
make
thing
it clear.
I guess the thing about Xbox is if you switched it on, and instantly you got an advert for Daz before yeah. you could do anything.
No, for every, and all the game was interrupted to show you.
I mean,
advert.
If you look at like 4OD, when you go to watch 4OD and you get three rubbish, crap, long adverts before you can watch your content, yeah. and it's like this is really jarring. Let me watch 10 minutes of it and give me some adverts, but don't make me wait 3 or 4 minutes at the start before I can even get into it.
No, I agree. I totally agree, and maybe they'll figure it out a way. But the thing is, when everyone was in one place on TV, it was easy for them to make their money out of adverts and to get the exposure. They've got to spread their advertising wings to try and get their exposure. Because like it or not, adverts do work. That's the sad thing.
Mm.
Now, the story you've kind of added in here, which is a bit unsavoury, and I haven't seen this or come across this, so I think you better take us through it.
And I don't want to get into the politics behind it because it's really controversial. I don't know everything about it. I've got more views.
Yeah, so have I, and we're not going there either.
Yeah, exactly. But this just kind of like disgusted me. So last night, obviously, there was a escalation between Israel and Palestine just around the whole who's bombing who. And what I didn't like about this, and I guess a few people have commented about it, it was the fact that the Israeli Defense Force decided to start basically live blogging their attacks. And, you know, tweeting online when they'd actually eliminated somebody. And it wasn't just to put a name up. I mean, Chris is looking at the pictures now, and I guess everybody will be able to see it in news sites today. And it was actually, I mean, it was Call of Duty-esque, you know, big red picture of the guy's face. Here's what he did. And then a big eliminated stamp against him. And it's like,
that's a real person, you know?
And it's
not a computer game.
No, and it's back to the... It's just going too far. It's going too far. And that's why I don't want to get into the politics of who's right and wrong and who started this, because it's too complex for my little brain. But
thousands of people have tried before.
Yep, there's been many a Wikipedia war.
yeah,
all over who's right. But I just think, you know, whether you agree or disagree with what the action they took, I think everybody should be agreeing that you know, live blogging it, putting it on Twitter.
Live blogging military action and
actually adding
celebrating.
But they actually had a hashtag for it all, and they were encouraging people to, like, you know, comment. And you're like, no. Yep. Gone too far.
Yep.
Gone too far.
Our government, though, has decided that it's going to do more digital.
If you can keep that up for this whole article, you get a Mars bar.
Don't want a Mars bar. I'm trying to lose weight.
Yeah, looks like it.
Shut it. but basically, it's amazing how much governments say they can save on things. It's just ridiculous. So they reckon by pushing services together into one new digital website, they're going to save themselves $1.7 billion. What am I talking about? I'm so used to saying that. £1.7 billion every single year. And that's by moving services online. So people, you know, self-serve online and all those kind of things. And they kind of give some nice stats about how much cheaper it is to do things online. So 20 times cheaper than by phone, and 30 times cheaper than face-to-face, and 50 times cheaper than via the post, which is all very good, but it doesn't help people who can't do it online or won't do it online and stuff like that. But
no, and I am assuming that they've factored that in and that there always will be No, I'm just assuming.
Like copyright people assume that everyone would have bought their song.
I know, but I'm assuming that they've factored in that, what, 10% of people are never going to use an online tool, whether they've got broadband and computers or whatever. And some of the online services are really good. You know, see for the old car tax and all that kind of stuff. You know, works really well.
I've done my tax return online now for the last 4 years or whatever, and it works very well for me.
Yep.
Very good.
So I think, you know, well done. You know, it's good to get it all under one kind of core brand as well, because I think they were getting out of hand. I'm sure the, I'd visions, if you look at this, the services they used to launch before, of like each department having their own web team and each department having their own, you know, this is how we're going to do it. And I think, you know, getting one coherent service that, you know, general public can just go and understand and make sense of, all good. I figure the figures, but I mean, 1.7 billion a year? Wow.
Yeah, and I don't get me wrong, I'm all for this. I just find it amazing that they think they can save that much money and how inefficient it was before. But I have no doubt that technology done right, and they seem to have got the idea about online at the moment. As in,
oh, definitely,
very very simple, straightforward things rather than all the flashy crap that, you know, just distracts. So that, you know, they do seem to be getting it right at the moment.
Absolutely, even the whole, you know, sticking it all in GitHub and blogging about it and going through the whole process.
I mean, it's amazing that they even really can do things like that. So someone knows what's going on.
No, absolutely. I just think with this press release, there's a bit of Malcolm Tucker about the whole thing.
You know what? The only thing, whenever I hear government releases, I just the thick of it is just there. There was a nice phrase in here somewhere that I just thought, oh, it's so the thick of it. I might find it in a minute.
The best thing is like basically my day at work is just surrounded by Tuckers.
Is it? I guess.
And it's like, yeah, this is great.
Oh yeah, digital by default was the phrase that I.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's really great. Yeah. Let's go digital by default.
But I could see the fuddy Tory older guy kind of going digital by default, and the kind of younger Lib Dem going, oh, digital by default. That was just.
Yeah. that show. If you have never watched it, go get it. The best show ever, I think.
Yes.
Till the next best one, the Queen chooses Samsung. What's that all about?
Basically, there is the Royal Commonwealth Society to celebrate the diamond collection. So they're basically celebrating the Queen's life. Has gathered together a whole load of multimedia clips and photos. I even like the way they talked about multimedia clips.
Yeah. Other than single media clips.
Exactly. We have some multimedia. And
Helvetian Carter CD.
Exactly. So they've gathered all this. And they wanted to put it all on a tablet. But the total gathering was 80,000 and it was 150 gig. So they've narrowed it down to 60.
Right.
From 80,000. And they've stuck it on a tablet. And this will be like a digital time capsule.
Right.
And they've chosen.
And that you can buy or that gets buried.
I don't know. I don't actually know what happens to it, but they've chosen.
Why don't they just put it online?
They are going to put the rest of it online. Okay. So the 80,000 is going online. But this digital time capsule idea is they've chosen a Galaxy Note 10.1.
Which will be probably incompatible with everything in a few weeks.
And the reason was Samsung Slate was more regal.
Ah, there you go. Much cooler. Maybe less cool.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. Maybe it was a file browser they liked.
They like their antivirus protection.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and not only is the Queen doing over. Well, no, that's not. I was trying something then.
And I'm not going to cut it.
Back up, back away. Back away
it.
From that transition. The judge, like I said, Apple were playing with fire with the judge, and we said we were never going to cover this story again, and now we got it again.
To be fair, you said they were playing with fire. I said we're never going to cover it again, and you went, come on, of course we will.
That's true. So actually, a bit of foresight. Anyway, yes, so the judges have come and said they're really, really quite pissed off with how Apple blatantly disregarded their, they're disturbing and lackadaisical approach to the requiring the judges' requirements, which I'm not surprised about. I told you they're playing with fire.
That it was beyond the technical abilities of Apple to make the minor changes required to own website in less time beggared belief.
But it has taken them about a week to come out with this statement.
Yeah.
And that's the judge to come out with a statement.
That's what I laugh at. You know, two weeks to come out with a statement saying we're pretty hacked off for you.
Yeah. So, and the judges are pretty good at talking. That's what they're kind of paid to do.
But yeah, they've made Apple pay Samsung's fees.
And you know what? They could do probably a whole lot more. If they decided they were in contempt and
Apple have looked like cocks over it, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to be smug, tried to be smart, then they tried it for a second time. And then before this announcement was made, they obviously made the change in the website because I think they must have been told.
Yes.
We're going to do you. Just man up.
No company is bigger than a legal system, or they probably are, to be honest, but theoretically, they're not.
I was going
to
say Vodafone is, Apple is, Google yeah, is, Amazon is, Starbucks is.
But if you piss off a judge, they can screw you over. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, so maybe we'll see some calming down on that front, or at least go quiet. I mean, Apple do seem to be in a kind of more agreeable mood in that they've closed their patent litigation, or HTC and Apple have both come to agreement that they're going to stop fighting each other and sign a bit of paper. Sign a bit of paper to say we will license each other's patents, basically.
Yeah, but I don't know if you saw some of the stats about mobile profit at the moment. So if you look at all the companies that are making money in the mobile arena, and this is hardware-wise, Apple's making 60% of the profit, Samsung's making 39% of the profit, HTC's making 1% of the profit, nobody else is making profit.
Well, HTC pissed off Jobs, basically, didn't they, by stealing a few bits and bobs in interface designs, or rather, it was them that he chose to take an exception to.
But now they can quite happily use it, so they can use Slide to Unlock, whereas Samsung can't.
Okay. And so you're trying to you think there's another get back at going on here?
And the article I've kind of copied bits and pieces from was The Verge's one, which was like, this isn't just as straightforward, because Samsung are sitting there saying, no, we don't need to sell. We're fine, because they are, you know, they've got one of the biggest selling handsets ever. They're making, you know, they're the only other company making profit now, and they're going to, they will be the biggest firm. There's no way that kind of is going to change. They are going to.
Well, Samsung took over the TV market when they piled them high, sold them cheap, but not bad products either.
Exactly. And there's a number of different angles, you know. So it's like, if HTC are a good competitor to Samsung, who are your definite enemy, you know, so all that nonsense. It looks like HTC might be looking at Windows as maybe their next platform rather than Android. So again, you know, it just seems to make more sense that they've settled this one.
I'm not sure a Slide to Unlock is going to make me buy an HTC though.
Oh, I don't know. See that whole, I mean, as I said at the start, see all these kind of multiple things in your lock screen.
Doesn't stop it anyway.
I just want a little widget. I just want to see the weather or like, you know, I don't know, one little thing. Although Brian's probably listening to this saying, weather in Glasgow, it's wet. It's grey. You won't see the sun till April.
So do you think we're going to see more from this then?
I just don't think it's as straightforward as is being made out, that they've just settled.
It's good that they have, to be honest.
It's boring. And it's just, I want them to go and innovate. You know, iOS 5 and 6, as I've said before, is just stagnating. Stop paying your lawyers money and start innovating.
Because it's costing an awful lot of money.
Because there's nothing they've brought out in the last, you know, year and a half that I think is patent worthy. And that's the issue. This is all patents from five years ago they're arguing over.
Yeah, from the beginning of the kind of new era.
Yeah.
So they're trying to protect something that's already out and in the world, basically.
And they're getting beaten on things like, there's iTunes Match, £21 a year, or just go Google and it's free. Just go
iTunes Match, that, it's free. £21 a year and grays out all your songs.
I can't even deny it now. I'm sitting here like, I want to argue with you and I can't.
No, I can't. the 4G auction rules have been outlined. So this is for the bandwidth that's become available since we shut off Freeview, that's going to be used for mobile data. And whereas 3G, they raised £22.5 billion for the sale of that bandwidth. This is a wider set of bandwidth, and they reckon they're only going to get about 1.3 for it. Basically, because they got burnt, the mobile firms got burnt with 3G and now realise that it's not worth as much. So there you go. They 1.3 billion, you could buy all the bandwidth.
Yes. And time wise, it's looking as if it'll all happen quite quickly. So this is the December 11th is the date of submission, and then they're going to do things like, you know, mock auctions, and then they'll have the actual auction, and they hope to have everything up and running by, you know, sort of April to June.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's pretty quick turnaround. I mean, it's not probably quick enough for to. Well, they're probably letting EE have a bit of a march, but yeah, it's all for a massive thing like that. It's pretty quick turnaround, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, let's get on to some picks. Which we've got a few this week.
By God, we've got loads.
Yeah, we're already out of time, so let's keep going. Pick, I'm going to quickly do mine, is Curiosity, What's Inside the Box. Now, this is the new app by Mr. Molyneux. 22 Cans is his new company. And basically, you download an app onto your iPad, and it is a whopping, it's a cube that sits on your screen, and it is made up of billions, and I do mean billions. I'm not sure how many billions, but it is billions and billions of tiny cubelets. And all you have to do is click on all the little tiny cubes to get rid of them. And everyone in the world can join in doing this. We're 9 layers down into the cube. You have to completely destroy one layer before you can then go on to destroy other layers. And as you go through, you get coins, depending on how quickly you're getting rid of these little cubelets. And you can spend those coins on things like chisels and bombs and pickaxes to get rid of more cubes. And one person will eventually click the last cubelet and they will win a prize, an undisclosed prize that will change them forever, apparently. Turns out it looks like it's going to be a video of something that then, I don't know what that video is going to be, but they will be told via video what their prize is.
It's an iOS version of Populous.
Probably, yeah. But anyway, it's caught my imagination and it is quite Moorish, clicking on all these little tiny cubes. And, you know, seeing them all disappearing around you and how quickly people get through these layers, it's unbelievable.
How many layers are there?
Undisclosed number of layers.
Oh.
But it tells you if you go to stats how many. I mean, I can get the stats up if you like. How many are left on a particular layer if you want?
While you're doing that,
you go into a pick.
No, well, I was just going to say I did download this, and all I got was a white screen. It never actually connected anywhere, and I just thought, sod off.
Oh well, it does now.
Sod off, Molyneux. And then I read yesterday that he's put up a donate thing on his website. Donate for more servers because they are quite expensive. Sod off, Molyneux. You're rich. You're rich beyond my wildest dreams. Anyway, while you're firing it up, I'll do a couple of picks. These are really quick. Evernote 5 just came out on the Mac. And also the app's got updated on iOS. Really, really nice new look and feel. If you've tried Evernote before and maybe thought, it's not really getting it, or you think it's a bit ugly, or, you know, Evernote 5 on the Mac now has 100 new features. And some of them are just like better workflows and easier ways of working. But it really is quite a lovely way of storing and syncing notes, photos, web pages, receipts, whatever you want across different devices. So that's Evernote. We've mentioned Google Music, which has actually worked really well for free. And now that I've done that, I'll hand you back to Chris.
Yep. No, there are, on the current layer, which has only just been unlocked, 63.1 million cubelets.
It's a bit like Euromillions. You think you're going to come in at the right time just to win it, and clearly you won't.
Apparently you'll know by the artwork that's on the cube exactly that you're on the last layer, so at least everyone will know. You kind of make the cube bigger to get to these little cubelets, but it's a bit like Google Maps, isn't it? You just zoom in and you zoom in and you zoom in and you zoom in and you realise quite how small the cubes are.
It just sounds like you're popping bubble wrap.
That's exactly what it is. That's exact, and it even makes that kind of noise as you're going. And you can multi-touch it, so you can use, you know, 5 fingers to get rid of it. Anyway, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a feature that is. Can you imagine that if that came in version 2? We have now added 5 fingers, 6 fingers for Bardo support. Anyway, my final little pick.
7 up.
Is 100,000 stars. So workshop.chromeexperiments.com/stars. And this is just a really, really nice demo app for Chrome, which lets you see lots of stars and zoom in and yeah, go it's wow.
Like Star Trek.
Without the Vulcans and the Borg.
So you get a star field that you can zoom in and out of, and you can have a look at clusters, and it's just the graphics in it are great. It is unbelievable what you can do in a browser now, basically. And the light effect if you get too close to the sun is just awesome.
I was like blind for 3 minutes.
Solar flares and stuff. It's just
It's really well done.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, there we go. I'm done as well. So let's call that a night. So if you want to find out more about us, you can. digitaloutbox.com. info@digitaloutbox.com is the email address. And we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And where can we find you, Ian?
Blog is ind.net. Twitter is Streeper. App.net is Ian Dick. And also apologies if you did download last week's episode and it looked like it was 17.8 exabytes in size. That's just Apple.
Exabytes.
Yeah. I've got the screenshot to prove it from that.
I know we went on a bit.
Well, last week we were actually quite short. We're only like 32 minutes.
But wow.
We were 17.8 exabytes.
That's quite a lot of talking, or very, very high quality, small amount of talking.
I just think it's high quality. It's all about the encoding.
That's right. Excellent. We will speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.